Well, good morning. Oh, guys, good morning. Hey, there we go. I am not Pastor Rob, as you have probably noticed. Pastor Rob and his family are away enjoying a much deserved rest, and I heard they might be watching us online today. So I thought maybe we could say hi to them. Can we do that? So on three, we're going to say hello. All right? One, two, three. Hello! Wherever you guys are, good to see you. Well, let's pray together, and we'll start in the Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that we can come here today to look into your Word. Oh, Lord, we thank you for your Word. That you have not left us to wander, to be lost in our sin, but have given to us your truth to tell us about your Son and the way that we can be saved and to follow you. And so, Lord, this morning we ask that you would open our eyes to see what you have for us, that you would change us. This morning, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Maybe you've been in this situation like I was not too long ago. You're driving along. You're in your luxurious, like me, 2000 Toyota Echo. Just going 40, just as fast as you can go in that Toyota Echo. It's an old car, but I like it. And you notice there's some sticky residue in the top left-hand corner of your windshield. You think, what was there? What was that? An oil change sticker. That's what it was. When did that fall off? I'm not sure. I wonder if I need an oil change. I think I do. 4 months pass. I was going to get an oil change. Oh, that's right. So you pull into your oil change place. I go to one of the ones in Langley. And you drive in, if there's not a line, you go right in, and they kind of back you in, like, a little bit more. I'm always afraid I'm going to fall in the pit, because there's the open pit. I don't know why, but they never have dropped me in yet, so that's good. They get you to put it in park. They ask you, would you like some water or a coffee? Would you like a newspaper? It's pretty friendly. And they say, pop your hood. So where was that thing that pops the hood? Yes, there it is. I found it. Success. The hood, they open the hood up, they pull out the dipstick, and then comes the question that I dread. Sir, have you checked your oil recently? And oh no, start to sweat. And I'm thinking, what's the correct response here? Now, I'm a Christian, I better tell the truth. And I'd say, no, I haven't checked it recently. Now, that could have been my first clue that having oil in your car was important. Because recently I was driving home, and all of a sudden my car started to shake. And I thought, what is going on here? Is it an earthquake? No, it wasn't. Because I saw a little red indicator starting to flash on my dashboard. And I learned that red and indicator are not a good combination. If it was green, an indicator, it'd be like, good driving. Yes, very good. But this was red, and it was flashing on and off. And I thought, what is that? Because it doesn't just say what it is, right? They use a clever symbol that people are supposed to understand. And this one, to me, looked like Aladdin's lamp with a little fire coming out of the end of it. And I'm thinking, what is going on? And then, all of a sudden, it pinged. That's the oil light. I don't have enough oil. Oh no. I need to get to an oil station immediately. I don't know what an oil station is, but I need to get there. So long story short, I went home, I found some oil, I dug it, you know, in the rubble in the garage, found it, put it in, crisis averted. What's the point of that story? I never should have got to that point. I knew checking my oil was important. Every time I go to my oil change place, they ask me, have you been checking your oil? How's your oil doing? I even took a mechanics class in grade 11, believe it or not. I didn't check my oil. I failed to check. This morning, we're learning about the tongue. In fact, our title is Check Your Tongue. Check Your Tongue. The Bible tells us the tongue is not only an important part of our body to pay attention to because of the power of our words, but it's also given to us as an indicator of how we are doing spiritually. Matthew 12:34 tells us, For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. What you say is an indicator of what is in your heart. I suppose to go back to the car analogy, you check your oil. If the oil dipstick measures the level of oil in your car, your tongue is an indicator of where you're at spiritually. So this morning that takes us to the book of James. And one of the distinctive things about the book of James, if you're not familiar with it, is its emphasis on living out your faith. Your faith should show in your life. Summarizing James 2:17, faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. Your faith should show in your life. And in this book, James, the half-brother of Jesus, lays out for us the importance of checking our tongue to be sure that it is pleasing to the Lord, because it is an indicator of our faith. When someone checks the oil level in their car, they're ideally looking for a level that is to the full marker on the dipstick. The oil is, make sure I get this right, it is not miscolored or milky. Thank you, Google, for informing me on that. So what should we find when we check the tongue of a Christian? What should we find when we check the tongue of a Christian? What should you and I find when we check our tongues? Well, 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. When a person receives Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they are called a new creation. The old has passed away means that those things which were your goals and loves before faith in Jesus, they have been replaced with something new. As followers of Christ, we are now to live for the priorities, goals, and loves of Jesus, since he is the one who has saved us. Our perspective has become what is important for eternity instead of what is important for the temporary. When we check our speech, we are looking for words and motives that match up with how the Bible instructs us to speak. When we check our tongues, we're looking to see if it matches up with the Bible's instructions. So let's turn to our text this morning, James chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. And in this text, we're given a challenging picture of the tongue and the impact our words have. We'll examine the text together with the goal of understanding the Bible's message to us and how to go and live a life that pleases the Lord in the area of our words. Together, we'll learn that it's important to check your tongue. So let's read that together. James chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. Verse 3. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. So our first stop this morning is that we all need to check. We all need to check. James begins his passage here on the tongue with a warning, an indicator that the words you say, specifically when teaching about God, are taken very seriously by our Heavenly Father. He starts in verse 1, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers. Here, a teacher is someone who has an official teaching or preaching position. People at that time, and I would say today as well, can teach for the wrong reasons. They teach for power, for influence. In fact, in Jewish circles, the Jewish rabbis, their teachers, would be considered more valuable than a person's own parents. A teacher who says they're teaching God's word yet teaches something false has great power for harm to their listeners. A false teaching from within the church has much more destructive power than a false teaching from the outside, because we're trained to trust our teachers. James says this is a very serious thing. James follows this statement about teachers with, "We all stumble in many ways." It is not just teachers who need to be careful about what they say, but even teachers who are trained in how to speak, how to teach. They are not immune from stumbling with their tongues. So let us all be aware and check our tongues, no matter who we are. But if you teach God's word, there is an extra warning given to make sure that you do so in a way that matches up with his word. No one is above making sure their words are pleasing to the Lord. We all need to check our tongues. Secondly, we must check often. We must check often, starting the second half of verse 2. "And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things." So going back to my story about checking your car oil, they ask you, "Have you checked your oil?" Now they're assuming that means soon. Maybe they should throw that in there next time I go. "Have you checked your oil?" or "recently." "Have you checked your oil recently?" I could say, "Well, no. Have I ever checked my oil? Ha ha, yes I have." Is it good enough to check your oil every 2 years? Every 5 years? "I checked it when I bought the car. You know, it's 20 years later." Doesn't work. You need to check often because it's important. It can have serious consequences if ignored. Here, the same thing for the tongue. James lays out for us the incredible impact this seemingly small part of our body has on us. So it makes sense that we must be aware often and frequently looking at the words we say. We must check often to make sure that we're on course, that our words are pleasing to God. If they are not, it's an indicator that something is not right. Something needs to change in our lives. If we're serious in trying to be pleasing to God with our tongues, with the words we say, James tells us there can be some victory found. The victory will be by those who are following God diligently, seeking to follow his word. These will be people who are aware of the power of their words and need to check them often and be ready and willing to change if something is not right. James says if a man did not stumble in what he says, he would be perfect. Most scholars understand this to mean spiritually mature or complete. It's unlikely it means someone who never sins with their speech. He has just said we all stumble. The word here likely means complete or mature. And this person will give evidence of a spiritually mature heart with their speech that is seeking to be righteous. In the Holy Spirit's power, a believer in Christ can please God with their speech. Not that they will never sin with their tongue, but they will be aware of the power of the tongue and check their words often, finding victory frequently in God's power. James says that if this is the case, then this person is able also to bridle his whole body. Your speech is not just something on the side, it's an extra. If I get to it, we'll look at it. It's a key, important part of your life, of your spiritual health. It's a major victory to have speech that is pleasing to the Lord. And since it is so influential on who we are, we must check our tongues often. We're to check it against the Bible, understanding how we can please him with our words just as we are to do in every aspect of our life. Recently read the story of a woman who should have checked her tongue more often. It was around Christmas time, and like many offices, the office did a gift exchange. Perhaps you can relate. One employee, we'll call her Lucy, received the gift of chocolates and a blanket. It was under the spending limit of $50. That's a nice office. But it was still a nice gift. So she reached out by text to thank her fellow employee, an engineer we'll call Jameson. Lucy said, "Hey, thanks for the chocolates and the blanket. I really appreciate it." Jameson responds, "Yeah, no problem. I actually have one of those blankets, and they're super comfortable." So good, so far, so good. Lucy says, "I love it." And then the conversation takes a turn. "So I know this is kind of awkward, but the spending limit was $50. And I looked online, and it seems the blanket and chocolates only add up to about $30. Do you think it's possible you could get me something else? My kids have cost me so much this year. Blame the kids, right? Oh, come on. Jameson says, yeah, no problem. What a guy. I could give you $20 if you'd like. That way you could get yourself and your kids something nice for the holidays. Lucy says, you think it's possible you could get me this? She sent him a link. It was a Samsung Galaxy tablet. It's $120. Jameson responds, $120 tablet? I think that's a bit over the $50 spending limit. Ha ha. Yeah, ha ha. Lucy says, I know, it's just that my kids, again with the kids, Lucy, come on. I know, it's just that my kids have cost me so much this year, it would make their day if mommy gave them something nice like this. Thanks, I appreciate it. In the end, the coworker refused to buy the $120 tablet, but still offered to give the $20, saying, I understand you have kids, but I also have things I need to pay for, and unfortunately, $120 for a coworker is a bit out of my budget. And his response set off a firestorm of texts, such as, you don't even have kids. What else would you spend your money on? And honestly, I don't know how you live with yourself. Disgusting. Terrible, terrible things. As a last-ditch effort, Lucy tries for the $20 cash. Jameson's response was, forget it. Forget it. The reason we need to check our tongues, and I would add in our culture today, the things that we type, is that the tongue has great, great power. James uses two analogies to show the kind of control the tongue has on us, comparing the tongue to a bit in the mouth of a mighty horse and the rudder of a ship. Now, historically, horses have been one of the most loved animals in our society, and they are powerful. In fact, we even measure our cars in horsepower. And yet, it says, if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Now, I am not a horse rider person. I don't know, that's the wrong word, I'm sure. What do they call it? Jockey. They race horses, I know that. But I remember going to my great-grandfather's farm, and he had mules. And we'd ride these, what seemed to me, because I was little, these giant animals around. And I'm allergic to horses, so my eyes would be half shut, just kind of riding the horse. But I loved it. Couldn't take me away from the horse. And we'd guide the thing with this little bit, a little piece of metal in the mouth of this mule, or in this case, James says, horse, could steer this giant animal. And that's what the tongue is compared to. Wow. And James observed the same idea in ancient ships, as ships small and large were steered by a comparatively small rudder. James's point, once again, is that your tongue has the power to influence your whole person, though it is so small in size compared to the rest of the body. And James summarizes by saying, so also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. Now, boasting is a selfish act. It promotes yourself at the expense of others. In order to keep our tongue pleasing to our God, we must be ever aware of the control our tongues can have on us and resolve to speak only words of humility, filled with thankfulness, promoting peace, striving for holiness, and filled with wisdom. Now, these words are not natural to sinful humans, but can and should happen with a heart that has been transformed by Jesus Christ and is indwelt with the Holy Spirit, which each believer has. Which each believer has. This brings us to our third point this morning. We must check for harm. We must check for harm. I think it is extremely safe to say that each and every person here has been hurt by something that someone in your life has said, probably multiple times. And James is greatly concerned with the destructive power of the tongue. This is what he says. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. A fire is one of the most destructive and feared events that I can think of. If you've ever been face to face with the destructive power of a fire, you know how terrible it is. And the reason is that fire will feed on almost anything around it. Very different from other disasters that could happen. For instance, let's say I had a jug of, we'll make it water because only water is allowed in the sanctuary. Let's say I had a jug of water here, all right? And I dropped it. Would the water spread throughout the whole church? It's not a trick question. Would the water spread throughout the whole church? No. It's limited to the volume of water in the jug. Now, let's say I had a jug of fire, all right? I don't know where I'd get a jug of fire, but let's say I had one. And I dropped it. Would it be limited to this little area here? No. It would spread. It may burn the whole church if we didn't have sprinklers. No one was here to fight the fire. Fire feeds on things around it. Its destructive power is immense. James says a small fire can set ablaze a great forest. And he says the tongue is a fire. This reminds me of the July 30th, 2003 fire in the Barrier McClure region of BC. A man was smoking in his backyard when his used cigarette dropped to the ground and a fire began. This fire would burn through 26,000 hectares of forest, destroy 75 homes, destroy the local sawmill, and force 3,000 people to evacuate. Wow. Now, what really gets me about this story is that the guy who dropped his cigarette, started the fire, was a volunteer firefighter. Oh. He would have known firsthand the destructive power of fire. We as Christians, we have this warning in James. We know the power of our tongues, and yet we fail to check our tongues. We fail to examine our speech to make sure that we are pleasing to the Lord in our words. We either don't or won't realize the warning the Lord gives us is vitally important. James continues, and the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. Like a fire, the words that we say can spread and destroy. It is called a world of unrighteousness. Now, what an insult that is, in fact. If someone was to say that to you, and you're a Christian, you know the Bible, that's a terrible, terrible thing to say. A world of unrighteousness. God is holy. He is righteous. The sinful tongue is opposed to him. The tongue is described as unrighteous and therefore opposed to God. And James continues that the harm from the tongue affects the rest of the body, staining or polluting what is around it. James continues by stating that the tongue's destructive power sets on fire the entire course of life. What? Wow. The tongue can have positive effects, yes. But James here focuses on the danger. Things like gossip, slander, lies, filthy language, other sins of the tongue seriously harm people, families, teams, groups, churches, ourselves. Finally, here in verse 6, James says the sinful tongue is set on fire by hell. Hell is a place prepared for Satan, his followers, and it's used here as a synonym for Satan and his demons. A tongue that is not checked, not under submission to God, will be used against God, fulfilling hell's purposes instead of God's. James also says in chapter 1, James chapter 1, verse 26, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue or control, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Now, James does not mean those who, because we all do, who once in a while fall into the sin that they have a worthless religion. He's not saying that, for we're all guilty at times. Rather, he's saying that if anyone's tongue is habitually uncontrolled, even though his church attendance is impeccable, her Bible knowledge prize winning, his prayer time lengthy, her tithes generous, that though he considers himself religious, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. The tongue, such an important indicator of where we are spiritually. We are told to use our tongues for many good purposes in the Bible. Telling others about the gospel, worshiping God through praise. What are you and I using our tongues for? How are we representing Jesus with our tongues, with the words that we say? So how can we apply this morning? Now, I've been praying for you guys. It's always interesting, right? Pastor comes to you. I've been praying for you. And you're like, I didn't ask for it. I've been praying for all you guys this week. That whoever would be here, that whoever would hear this sermon, would the word of God would do its work in your heart, whatever that needs to be. God knows those things. But I want to highlight for us three things this morning for application. Number one, realize the impact. Realize the impact. If you've been ignorant of the care that we need to have with our speech, James has just taken us to school. He's just provided an education for us on the tongue. Our tongues have the power to bless and the power to hurt very deeply. Sometimes we mistakenly think, oh, well, they're just words. Ha! They're just words. Or we think it's just a joke. If they can't take it, that's their problem. It's not my problem. No, these are lies. The Word of God tells us very clearly we need to be so careful with our tongues because they are like bits in the mouths of horses or the rudder of a great ship. They're small, but they have great power. They are called destructive to the point of being compared to a fire. The direction we are going, whether we are following God or sinking into sin, will show in our words. And if we're not careful, they do damage like that of a fire. Now, this might be one of those points where you start to do this. Yeah, you need to work on that. This is for all of us. This is not a time to think about those people who have hurt you with their tongues. This is a time to examine yourself. How is my tongue doing? How am I doing spiritually? What is my tongue showing about my life? I heard a story that I want to share with you about a farmer who was in the back hills of North Carolina, and he was dirt poor. He had a son, however, who was brilliant. And early on, they recognized his brilliance, and mom and dad decided they were going to scrimp and save enough to get their son to college. They didn't get to go to college, but they wanted their son to have that chance, especially because he seemed to have so much ability. And so finally, they sent him off to college. And the son did really well at school. But the school was quite a distance away. And so they would hear from their son time to time in letters and postcards before the time of email. And the mother and father loved to get these letters. And one day the farmer, he said to his wife, you know, I really love the letters, but I want to go see our son in person. So he thought he'd surprise his son, and he went off to this college town, getting more and more excited as he got closer to town. He wanted to see his boy so badly. And soon, as he was coming up to the hill of the college, he found a spot to park his car. And wow, what are the odds? There's his son coming down the sidewalk. And his father was so glad. This farmer, dressed in his grungy clothes, dirty boots, didn't smell that great. He started running towards his son. Say, son, son, it's me, your dad. Well, let's just say his son wasn't as happy to see him. In fact, he was quite embarrassed that his dirty father was coming to see him in front of his new friends. And he said to his father, the son said to his father, do I know you? Who are you? I don't think I know you. And the son's words were destructive to his dad. Our words have a great impact. They're not just words. 2 Corinthians 5:20 tells us that we are ambassadors for Christ. We are his representatives. Realize that if you say you are a Christian, when you speak, you are representing your Lord and Savior. So after we realize the impact of our words, secondly, let's re-examine. We'll re-examine your instructions. Our God has given to us his word. He's given to us the Bible. If you don't have a Bible, come talk to me after. We'd love to help you get a Bible if you can't afford one. The Bible is so important, so important. It is packed full of perfect wisdom from our loving Heavenly Father. Proper use of the tongue is one of the things that it gives instructions for. We are given wonderful instruction for our speech regarding sins of the tongue, like flattery, slander, boasting, and one of the most common, gossip. We must be so careful about what comes out of our mouths. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, the Apostle Paul states this: "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ." Now, some of you who know this passage well know this is not explicitly a command for us to go and do this ourselves, but it's describing what Paul has done to his opponents. However, there is an application for us in this. It is this: whatever thoughts you and I have before we speak them, we need to compare them to God's word. And if anything is out of sync with the word of God, those thoughts need to be destroyed. They should not be spoken. We can ask the Holy Spirit's help in this. The third thing, we need to recommit to pleasing God. The only way to fix a tongue that is found to be displeasing to God is to go back to the heart, because we know that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So first, in order to have a tongue that pleases God, you must be his. That is, to have your faith for eternity in Jesus as Lord and Savior. To believe that because of our sin, God sent his son Jesus to earth to live a perfect life, to die on the cross, taking the wrath of God for our sins on himself, and that he did not stay dead, but that he rose to life in victory. To be saved from the just, deserved punishment for our sins, we must repent of our sin and believe in Jesus' death in our place. Not only will he be our Savior, but because we love him so much, we will now follow his ways as he revealed to us in the Bible. He will be our Lord. Our loving Savior offers this to all who will believe as a free gift by grace. He offers forgiveness and eternity in heaven with him, when in fact, I and all of us deserve condemnation and eternity in hell, separated from God. And if you have not put your faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I encourage you, do it today. It is so, so vitally important, the most important thing you can do. Now, how about if your faith is already in Jesus? You're struggling in this area. How can you please God more in this area of your life? Romans 12, 1-2 says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." In verse 1 here, Paul reminds us that every part of us is to be given for God's glory. We want our tongues, what we say, to be for God's glory, to show how great he is. How do we do this? We're to be transformed. That is, to show a change in a God-pleasing way on the outside that reflects what he has done for us on the inside. How does this happen? It says, by the renewal of your minds. The Holy Spirit will change our thinking as we put his word into our minds, as we study and read the Bible, so that we become more and more conformed to the image of Christ. This cannot be a once-a-year glance at your Bible. Sometimes coming to church if I wake up in time. Instead, we need to be saturated with the word of God. You will read and study and listen to and memorize the book that God has so generously given to us, so that we know how to live life and love God and those around us. We will put it into our minds and it will come out of us. It will overflow in words and actions. This morning, you and I need to check our tongues. Do you realize the impact your tongue has on you and the impact that your words have on others? It is a great indicator of your spiritual health. As we begin this new year, don't settle for being a Christian who is running on low. Use this reminder from God's word to check your tongue so that you and I can glorify him more and more in 2019. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this challenging text in the book of James. Father, I ask that you would help us in the area of our words, to have words that are pleasing to you, that we would build others up. For those here who teach your word, that you would make them faithful to the things that you have for us in the Bible. Father, I ask that if there's people here today who are struggling in this area, you would help. Through your power, you would help us to transform what we say to be those things that are pleasing to you. Father, I pray now that as we go into a time of celebrating communion, as we remember what Jesus has done for us, that it would be a time that shows how great you are, that you'd be glorified in it. Father, we thank you for this way to remember what Jesus has done for us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.